All right, that's JPEG Raw, show number 226 here in January 22nd. Our first one in January, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Different things have lined
first
up.
First one in 2019.
That's what a better way to say it. That's what I meant to say. First one in 2019. Things have lined up where we've missed a few weeks here and we're back on track. I am talking, Tim, to... I'll go into this a little bit later as one of our news articles, but mm-hmm. a photographer who I think is a wonderful, great photographer, and talks with him to come on the show as maybe one of our first guests. And I've mentioned before, we wanted to get more guests in 2019, so we're going to do that. But that's for a future date. For tonight, we're going to go over a few things and a few discussion items. One, I wanted to remember I was telling you when we talked about Christmas items last time we mm-hmm. met. And I did end up getting some of those Leaf filters. I haven't used them yet, but okay. I got the adapter,
mm-hmm.
which is this little guy. This goes on to the lens to 77 millimeter to adapt to and fit all these filters on there. I got neutral density grad set.
All right.
Which I doesn't say here. I think it's three. Yeah, three. It's a 0.3, 0.6, and 0.9. What did I get here? I guess I got another grad, a 1.24 stops. And then I got the bracket itself, which is, this doodad.
Right, right.
It goes in there. So I have to report back once I start using it. I have it all, but I haven't been doing any landscape photography yet in January. I have gone out last two weekends and I've been shooting basketball. Photographing basketball, not shooting basketball. Photographing basketball. And I wanted to mention something that I ran into, and this may be unique to my computer, but if you have this issue come up, if you're wondering what's going on, check this just to see if you're running into the same issue. So I come back, for per game, I may take anywhere from 400 to 600 photos.
Okay.
In a younger child basketball game, older child basketball game, and maybe quite a bit more, or older person basketball game. And so I'm coming home. I've got my D500, which I think is like 22 megapixels, somewhere in that range. I shoot in RAW. I come home, put it into my card reader, start to download. And the first weekend, I started to download. I went and did something else, came back, didn't notice anything. This time I was doing the download and I was trying to do some other work and I wanted it to get done so I can start going through and culling the images, and it was taking forever. It was I seemed to be making almost no progress on my CPU. Mm-hmm. I looked over at my CPU, it was maxed out at 100%. And why is Lightroom sucking up so much of my CPU just downloading these files?
Right,
and
right.
It is doing the smart previews. It is doing a second copy to my network drive. So it is doing a few other things than just copying the files and putting them into the catalog. But what I found out was my Windows Explorer was what was really sucking up all the CPU time. So you pull up Task Manager. I looked at the what was taking up all my CPU. It was Windows Explorer was taking up 80-90% and starving Lightroom from getting any kind of CPU cycles. I don't mm-hmm. know what was causing that, but I know the easy fix. I just closed Windows Explorer. I didn't need it open.
Okay.
As soon as I did that, Lightroom went back to normal. CPU usage went back to normal, and boom, it went. It sucked them on in and did its work. Still takes a little bit to bring in 500 raw files from a 20-something megapixel camera. But if you're noticing Lightroom, if you have a decent computer and you notice Lightroom taking up massive CPU and bringing stuff in slow. Check that. Check and see if it's Windows Explorer that's doing that. Go into your Task Manager and see if there's something other than Lightroom sucking up a lot of your CPU.
Hmm. All right, I'm going to try. I'll try that the next time. Some of it I contribute, like I was talking before, my computer is now 4+ years old. So yeah. I think that's starting to show its age.
And, one of the things with Windows versus a Mac is there's so many variants of the machine.
There is.
There's some, thousands or maybe tens of thousands of variants. So it could be something unique to my machine and my software loadout that's causing that. Or it could be a common problem that other people run into. But, mm-hmm. If you run into that problem, check that just to see.
Yep.
All right. So that was my tip of the week.
Or probably that was an early tip.
Probably turned out to be tip of the month.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's go to our first article up here, Tim. And this one, you won't have audio because I don't know if there's any music in it. We'll have copyright strikes. But Will Brard Lucas, I guess, photographer, he's, I think, in Antarctica right now, which is just, I'm so jealous. That's a, just an awesome place to be. At the time of this video, he was. Well, he made the, what he calls.
I'm cold looking at that.
Yes, it is cold. Then he made something called the Beetle Cam. He also made, I think he has something else called, we'll see it in a second, but it's a different camera that he's made. These are like camera traps. Like, let's say you're trying to photograph.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He's using it in Africa or some other, you know, great places that he gets to travel to. If you're like me and not traveling to Africa and Antarctica and all these other places, you know, you may
that's
be
bigger than I expected.
It is. It's a fairly good size. And I think at one point a lion attacked it and it destroyed it. But you see this, like this photo of this elephant, you know, a wild elephant, maybe not even a wild elephant, but it's probably not a good idea to be that close to an elephant or a cheetah.
Or, yeah, no, yep.
Yeah, or I think what's coming up next.
Staring it down. That is a great shot.
Yes. So you get these unique shots that you can't get, you know, normally as it just with you holding the camera. It's not that expensive. He does sell these on his website, the Beetle Cam, and the other one we'll look at here in a second. The other one is more of a camera trap where it's just got basically a – that's you're showing it in the middle there. It's a motion sensor thing, and it attaches to your DSLR, so you'd have to leave your DSLR out there or your mirrorless, and you can attach a flash to it too. So it does like this image with the hyena where he sets it up and you know, the animal comes by and you get a trap. Or the lion. He's doing these because they're nighttime, more nighttime active, night active. But, you know, so because they're fairly reasonable, I think the, this is in euros when we look at it, but the camera motion sensor thing is like under $200. So if you wanted to get something like this and set it up and put it in your backyard to photograph, that's the motion sensor thing. To photograph animals in your backyard, you wouldn't want to go, because you're leaving your camera there. I don't know if I just go put it out in the wild and walk away.
Well, depending where you live. If you live in a rural area, yeah, you can do this.
You can. But realize you're going to be leaving your camera there for whatever time frame you're trying to capture this stuff. But it does give you some unique perspectives of things. He's got these on the ground. You could prop them up and put them higher if you wanted to. Nothing says you can't. But I think that's really cool. I don't know if I would buy it because I don't know if I want to leave my cameras out overnight like that. But, you know, you might – maybe you don't put your DSLR out there. You put a GoPro or something like that. That would – I would leave a GoPro.
You can put other things.
I would put a GoPro out there.
You may even have an old camera.
Yeah. I would definitely leave my GoPro out overnight in the backyard. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't have to be overnight. It could be in the daytime because at night you're going to need to add some flash. Here's the –
Well, he's got a metal camera housing as well, so I guess you can also use that to.
Yeah. So and this shows you a little bit of it, where you got the camera, you got the motion sensor, and then he has a flash, and he's got them all set up. If you go to the store, I think the motion sensors are euros. You'd have to convert that to you know whatever your dollar.
That's British pound, I think, isn't it?
Oh, is it? Yes, you're right, British pound. So you have to do the currency conversion. But that's, you know, 145 pounds. This thing, I guess, is on – this is version 3. There's version 2. The version 3 is 160 pounds. Again, whatever the conversion rates are. And then you have to get – you can get some cables for whatever kind of camera you have and wireless triggers. They're not that expensive. So, you know, taking a camera you already have, you can probably for under, you know, $300, $400 get a whole setup to do this.
That's pretty cool.
We talk about some cool things on here. I never get around to actually doing them except for that, you know.
Because I'm not independently wealthy.
Yeah, because that lens. The only thing I really bought was that lens cap thing, which I did.
I want to hear the review on that because that looks pretty good.
What? I didn't.
Oh, no, not the lens cap. No, the lens cap, yeah, that one I wouldn't get. But your filters.
Yes, the filters, yes.
That I'm looking forward to a review on that.
Yeah.
Now the lens cap thing. Yeah. Now it's a good idea that an idea for a solution that is not needed for me.
Yeah, they did do something, and I think it's in what do you call it? And when they put it out there for people to fund it, GoFundMe or something like that. GoFundMe. I think it's in GoFundMe or
the other one.
Yeah, where they've made different sizes. So they made a size that is for bigger lenses. They made a size, I think, that's for smaller lenses. They made some other design changes. I'm not going to do the GoFundMe thing or whatever they're using. I don't know if they're using GoFundMe. I'm just saying that. But I might buy the larger one when it comes out in the market and do a follow-up review with that one since I was critical. Right. Sounds critical of the first one. I'll give them another chance. Again, I can't see me using it.
They never reached out to you though, right?
No. But
I guess that means they never heard your...
They either never heard it or figured they don't care. They're selling enough of them. Yeah, but you had a story here, Tim.
Mm-hmm. Tell us a little increased, and this was an interesting one. I saw it came across my phone the other day, and probably because I have a Sony as part of it, and lasers from a self-driving car damaged this guy's brand, pretty much, I think it was a two-week-old Sony A7R. And the next picture on the article shows the type of car, and it's one of these self-driving vehicles that has a LiDAR on top of it, which is light detection and ranging unit, which helps the vehicle determine what the obstacles are around it. And it looks like he was taking, now I don't know if this is the exact picture he took of it, and it probably is, where he was under an awning of probably the hotel where the car was out at CES, the Consumer Electronics Show. And he took a picture of it, didn't think anything of it, because he's taking pictures of all sorts of electronic things. And subsequently, he was obviously taking more pictures. And then he noticed in all the subsequent pictures that there was an actual damage to his sensor, because it had a purple line coming down from the actual picture in every single picture in the same thing. So apparently that's now causing issues. Now the guy said he had taken pictures of multiple other ones and never had the issue before previously. So maybe this is the company. I think it's the name of the company was what was the name of it?
IDAR.
Something like that. So maybe their LiDAR that on top of it is a little bit more powerful than what is on other cars, and it actually damaged it. On the bright side, they did offer to pay for his camera, which, if I remember reading, was like 2 weeks old, so it was a $2,500 or $3,500 camera body, which obviously would destroy most people if you find out that your camera is damaged just from taking a picture of something that is out in the open. Now, you're not talking about going into some secure government area or something. You're talking about a car that is ultimately expected to be driving on the street where a lot of people are going to take pictures. So this is concerning, because do you really want to take pictures of it? Now, and I think of all the times I've seen people that take pictures of the Google car that's doing the mapping out there, or even the Apple car that's doing mapping. I've never heard of this before where it's damaged. Well, actually, now I think about it, the Google car, the mapping cars, that's just cameras on top.
Yeah.
But there are plenty of people that have taken pictures of the self-driving vehicles out there. And this is the first time that I've heard that somebody's sensor was damaged as a result of it. Now, I don't know. It looks like he was taking it. The picture may have been taken where there's a little bit of shade, so maybe there's a little bit more exposure to it, which caused it. And maybe it's just perfect timing of when the laser struck the camera sensor as he took the picture. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely concerning.
Yeah, because if you think that these become more popular and there's more of them out there, you know, blasting these laser things everywhere.
Absolutely.
You don't necessarily have to be taking a picture of the car to be hit. So let's say you're taking a picture of whatever, one of these cars drives by and their laser beam blasts your sensor, you know, you could be, you know, just a victim as it drives by. And the odds are there of you then making a connection of that's what did it are probably pretty low.
I would think so. You're right.
And I don't know can you even see these things when it's out in the daylight driving around? Can you see the laser beams?
No, that's so invisible light.
Yeah, so it's driving by, blasting these laser beams out everywhere. You can't see it, and your camera can, though, damages your camera.
Right, because the wavelength is in there, and it's...
Yeah, damages your camera and you have no idea why. There's a there's another article that goes right along with this one, which is the risk of laser from
laser light shows
at this came at across
concerts.
At concerts, where a guy who, you know, has done a lot of photographing of concerts, I forget the photographer's name, Nandu Hermanson.
Sounds good to me.
Good enough. You know, he shoots, he shot with film, and of course that didn't do anything to the film.
Then right, with DSLRs. He just put in the next piece of film.
Yeah, and it may be that mirrorless are more prone to this. Because you think about a DSLR, it's got that you know thing flapping up, the mirror flapping up, and exposing the sensor for a shorter period of time, where your mirrorless sensor is exposed all the time, right?
Pretty much all the time, yeah.
Yeah, so he had one with his mirrorless, I think it was a Sony also, where he did a longer exposure because he wanted to get this unique look right here of more lights. And I think during that longer exposure, and it wasn't a really long, but it's longer than what he normally would have done, he started noticing when he did landscape photos, all these little weird things in his landscape. You can't tell there, but when we come down to this photo, you can see this. It almost looks like from that image, I don't know if y'all can tell, it almost looks like the sensor bubbled up a little bit right there.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, he'd contacted the manufacturer.
Actually, it was only a half a second shot, he says, on this.
Yeah.
Which is not really a long exposure.
No. And his sensor, he was sent it in to be repaired, and the entire sensor for, you know, $500, $600 had to be replaced.
Wow. And this was actually a Canon Canon EOS 5D. So,
oh, so that's not even mirrorless.
No, that was. But now you have it for a half second, so that might be when it's burning into it. So maybe that fast shutter, the 1/200 on your camera is probably not going to do it. But my camera, where it's mirrorless and it's constantly the lights hitting the sensor, yeah, that could probably cause it. And who knows how long the guy was focused in on that the car roof as well before he took the shot.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, we don't know how long he was there exposing. So, Tim, what is one of the reasons why people move to mirrorless?
Smaller camera body.
Smaller camera body.
Definitely weight is the big issue, I would think.
Weight, yes.
Mirrorless, you constantly have well, for me, I like the fact that I'm able to see everything through my viewfinder all the time.
Right. That's a big plus. A lot of people like that. Weight is another one. Size is another one. All that kind of stuff.
Sure as hell not money.
No, because they end up being about the same amount of money. So this guy, Spencer Cox, has done a analysis of over 700 lenses that have been released.
Jeez.
Yeah, he did a little database of over 700 lenses that have been released since 2000, I think it is. Looking at them from a weight perspective. And you know, wanting to know how they, over time, the weight of the average lens has changed, and especially now that we have mirrorless. And he looked at it in a couple of different ways, both an average, which basically takes all the weights for that year and, mm-hmm. you know, adds them up, divides by the number of lenses, and you get an average. But that sometimes can skew it, because let's say that year they released a 600mm f4.
Right.
That's going to be super heavy and it's going to skew the weight. So we also did a median, which picks, you know, the middle weight. So here's a little example down here. So if you have 5, 11, 13, 7, 94, that 94 would skew the average. An average here would be 28. The median would be 13, which is the weight in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So he did this, and he did both the average, he did both the median, and he shows that how it's changed over time. With the advent of mirrorless cameras, this you would expect to see over time that the weight of the lenses on these smaller bodies, maybe in some cases, would also be coming down. You know, the weight of the lenses would be coming down. What he found was just the opposite. So as we scroll down, and it is since 2000, I said. Where's this first graph? Did I go past the graphs? Is it not showing the graphs? Hold on a second. We may have to let's go back to you and me as I refresh that page because none of the graphs are showing up. But you'll see an interesting trend if I get this pulled up of where the lens weights have gone. This is insane. None of the lens weight stuff is coming up.
Yeah, I just have the scatter charts in this. Mm-hmm. Was there a link somewhere? Deep View Lens Database, Lens Lights Index.
No, maybe I have to come back to this article.
Well, I saw the conclusion, and it makes me say I'm keeping my camera body.
Yeah, so, you know, as I wait for that to maybe never come up. long story short is since...
There's a chart at the bottom.
Here we go.
See if you got the same thing I found.
All right. So the running average of lenses, you can see here, went down in 2013 and has come up. And he is doing, I think, a running average of 100 right. or something like that. So it's like the 100 most recently added lenses. So it's, you're not having 1 year where they only did five, skew it too much.
Right.
This computer is giving me nothing but trouble. But when you look at the median, weight, you see a much more dramatic change here. So around 2013, again, was the drop, the lowest point, and it's been steadily increasing ever since then. Mm-hmm. And what he found, you know, the conclusion to this was, you know, what's causing this? Conclusion to this was it is cameras for mirrorless bodies have been the most dramatic increases in weight. And mainly from the third-party vendors.
I saw that.
Because when you look at the Nikon lenses, that chart's almost useless. If you look at the Nikon lenses, they're fairly static. There's not a whole lot of them there. When you look at the Canon, you're seeing a pretty wild chart. But it's, you know, recently a big jump, but that may be a fewer number of lenses. It's not too bad there. The median weight of Canon, though, has gone up, but it's been more in a third party, and I don't know if he has enough of them here to show you that, but it's been more in the third party lenses and the mirrorless lenses, and that could be that the Sigmas and the Tamrons and the Tokinas are producing higher quality materials and lenses than they used to and becoming more on par with
they used to be more plastic. And
yeah, they may be coming on more on par with the brands, and therefore the average weight of those lenses are going up. But it's you know, the weight of the mirrorless lenses are a big driver of what he was seeing there.
Well, and I think one of the other things he had in his conclusion was they're using larger glass in a lot of these lenses, so you're getting much better, much sharper pictures than you were before also. So the quality is improving, and maybe the thought, and this might be part of the reasoning, is they're able to get the clarity out of the old lens. Maybe it would have weighed 50% more, so now you're raising the weight of these a little bit to get a larger quality picture. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's more to it than just the weight of the lens determining it. But you're right. The part of the whole idea with the mirrorless was your body shrunk easily in half, and now the camera lenses were smaller, so you weren't lugging 15, 25 pounds of camera gear around. But now you're going to be getting back to that again anyway.
Yeah, you know, that was originally the thought with the Micro Four Thirds. Yeah. Is that what it was? Micro Four Thirds?
Yeah, Micro Four Thirds.
Where, you know, it's going to be a smaller sensor, a smaller camera body, smaller lenses. You're going to have the smaller kit. And it did well for a while, but it really is not, it's reached a peak and it's not growing. And, you know, I don't personally know of anybody who shoots with that. And unless somebody's out in chat and wants to say something. It seems like you stuck with a DSLR, a cropped sensor from Canon or Nikon or whatever brand, or the full frame, or you've gone mirrorless and whatever, you know, crop and full frame they have.
Well, you know what? The good thing is I was just researching this weekend the replacement to my body, because I think my camera is now over. My camera body is probably about 10 years old, wow. nine or 10 years old. So I'm like, I want a new body. And there's rumors that the replacement to my body, I have the A77. The A77 II came out probably about four or five years ago. So now they're saying the second quarter of 2019, they already have all the specs for it. So hopefully it's truth. And maybe I consider buying that body and replacing. I have three of the same body right now.
You have three of the same body?
Three of the same body, yeah. Because I wound up, I don't even know where I got the third one, but maybe the third one was because I was buying the, I remember. I had a problem with my my lens, my 1650 2.8. So I needed to get a new lens. To buy the lens with the camera cost me like an extra $150. So I said, all right, I'll take that because it was used. And then I wanted the motor drive. And getting the motor drive, I got the body, and it was just so. Now I have three, and one of them is, I think, brand new. I haven't even taken out of the box.
Wow!
So that one is. If I'm going to sell one, that's the one I'm selling.
Yeah, yeah, that's something. I have really just the one I use. I have the behind me. I have a Nikon D2X that I've converted to full time infrared, so I use that sometimes too. But I've been eyeing the Nikon D850. There's some weird things.
It just dropped in price.
I know. There's some weird things going on with the D850. It dropped in price by $200, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, which, I think that's what it was.
But the weird thing is it's been out of stock a lot here in the U.S. So they're not dropping the price to move the inventory because it's been hard to get one in the first place.
Yeah, that's weird. So I wonder if there's something. It didn't get the best of reviews. Initially, it came out with good reviews, and then later on, they started complaining that it didn't have enough.
I don't know about that. I've heard great reviews from it.
Well, that's what you're a Nikon guy.
I am biased. I am a little biased.
I'm a little biased too.
But you know, I've heard a lot of great reviews of it. So I don't know. Maybe they're working to come up with the replacement for the Nikon D850, which would be great. Maybe that would lower the price some more. And I could pick one up a little cheaper. I don't mind buying a used one as long as it's in good shape.
Right.
Yep. And you know what I think I'll do? Because, you know, we all want to be a better photographer, Tim. What you should do if you want to become an expert photographer.
Oh, boy.
An expert photographer. And you have $19 to spare. You can just take a 30-hour video course. Spend $19 and you'll become an expert photographer.
That is awfully cheap.
That is awfully cheap.
But becoming an expert photographer, that's a...
Well, the internet can't lie, can it? I mean, it's...
No, they can't.
This is 925 Toys, and they have an offer here for $19. You get access to 30 hours of video training, and you will become an expert photographer.
That's a reduction of $226.
Yes.
Originally $207.
Originally $207, yes. Now only $19. So whatever that percentage is, it's large.
Yeah. 90%.
So, you know, if you're currently someone who's never taken a photo before and you want to quickly become an expert, you can, and I guess after this course, you can claim you're an expert. You just need 30 hours and $19. And you'll become an expert.
Wow.
Yeah.
Expert.
The sad thing is that there's it's the Essential Digital Photography Masterclass Bundle for $19.
Now I'm going to see, what is it? What does that include? Digital Photography Introduction, $69 value. Advanced Digital Photography, $69. Oh, here it is. Included using Adobe Photoshop Elements 15. $69 value. So what, I don't even know what Photoshop Elements are they up to?
I can tell you that in all the years we've been doing this show, and all the people we've talked to, we've spoken to some people who maybe based on my skill level, I would classify them as experts that have been doing it for years. And are, you know, have been doing it thousands of hours of working on it. And they may not claim them experts. To me, they are. But you and I have been taking photos for years, mm-hmm. and I know there's no way in heck I would ever say that I'm an expert. And there's no way that after 30 hours of watching a video, you are going to become an expert. I think it's good to take courses, whether it's an online course or whether it's a workshop. Workshops are great if you go and take one with a photographer that you like and you think would give you value. So not putting down those things. There's some good ones out there. But like some, like DF said, scam, you know, and Jan says, expert by whose standards? By the standards of people you gave $19 to. Yeah. So, and DF says, tons of experts on YouTube. There's tons of people who claim to be experts. There are people who are actually really good and you can learn from on YouTube too. And all that's going to be free. So, yeah, don't spend.
Well, mind you, Photoshop Elements came out October of 2016. So that tells you how old this course is. There are already two versions past that. Yeah. Well, so I think that's part of the issue here. There it is. 90% off. The problem is it's something that they have that they just want to get rid of. If somebody buys it, you know, it's $19 more than they had, I guess.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to pay a little bit for quality. I mean, if whatever type of photographer you're in, there's, you know, you can either look online and get, you know, free video tutorials. You can look and see who's in your genre that you like, who's doing a workshop and maybe in your area or an area you can travel to and do those things. Or just do like a lot of people do and just practice and slowly get mm-hmm. better. But 30 hours later for $19, you're not going to be an expert.
No. I'm not sure if 300 hours you'd be an expert.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might be a better photographer, but you're not going to be. Expert is a...
So it's just a word of warning to be careful before you pay for something. And I know people are always looking for a deal. Mm-hmm. Every deal is not a good deal.
Yeah.
You know. All right. So the last article I had is a pretty cool article. You know, I know Christina knows this and probably Jan. Even at my age, I still play video games. Mm-hmm. My generation is responsible for we were the generation where it started. I don't know if I'd say we're responsible for it, because I think any generation that started, it would have been big. But, you know, video games really started and became popular with my generation. So I played when I was a kid. I still play now. I play a video game with A.D. Wheeler, who's I do another podcast with and has been on here.
Into the middle of the night.
Yeah, we play quite often. I've met another great photographer on there who we're going to try and get in the show, Walter Arnold. Who played with us quite a bit. But that leads me into this next story, in that, you know, when you play video games, I'm not necessarily playing the sports ones, but if you play Madden football or you play, the soccer ones or the basketball right. ones or any of those, you know, those games are taking athletes that are the current athletes, because they're making a new one like Madden 2019. Because they got to do that to get you to buy another one. And they're taking the athletes of that year and putting them in the game. And they have to do something where they get, you know, detailed photos of these athletes so that when you look at it in the game, it looks like that player. Mm-hmm. They have a studio. So this is EA Sports is doing a lot of these. They have a studio up in Vancouver, Canada, where they will bring people in and do, you know, photo shoots with them. And they even have a thing where they can do the full body thing where they put all the little dots on you.
With 153 cameras.
Yeah, 153 cameras where they want to get the motion of you and like the full body thing. But go, you know, flying up to Vancouver and doing that, you know, long shoot is not something that every athlete can do. So what they have set up is this mobile thing where – you know, they can quickly get a 3D scan of the athlete's face. They can't do the full body. They can't do all that motion stuff. But they have – how many cameras was it, Tim?
17, I think.
17 Canon, what are they using? Canon
5Ds or EOS Rebels.
Yeah, where they have these set up and they're taking, you can see it on this ring where the athlete will come and just and sit there and it will go around and take all these photos of their face so then they can put that photo into the video game. And if you've never really played video games or if you're my age or older and you're wondering why are they doing that sounds ridiculous. Video games today are multi-billion dollar industries. Oh. They're some of the big names that you hear are spending, you know, they're spending movie money on these video games, $100 million and then selling $1 billion worth of the video game. So they're spending the money on the, you know, taking the photos of these athletes or whatever the other thing is and wanting good quality stuff. So, you know, there's reasons why they do this thing.
Oh, and, absolutely. I mean, the money, even like, and that you're talking about like console games that are making money, but just think of some of these games on your phones, how much money they're making. I heard, Fortnite, I guess, is the big game right now. And I was reading an article the other day, $500 million just on, I don't know which platform it was, $500 million for the game. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, crazy money
that they spent on it or made from it.
No, they make on it. Or so, I got to look. How much is Fortnite making a week? It's some stupid money.
Well, and Fortnite is a free game, so they're making it from people buying stuff after they are playing the free game. Yeah, some of the big titles make a lot, and you can see here one of the things that's exploding in video games that hasn't necessarily been there until recent history. Is female athletes in these
making
video
about $300 million a month?
Wow, that's insane. So you can see here, this is Christian Sinclair, who's a soccer player. I'm not big into the soccer game, so I don't know these. But you know, this is not a photo of her. This is the game, and you know, they got this quality because they do those high scans of her. And I think she probably went into the studio to do the, you know, the whole motion thing. But, you know, that's getting a lot more people buying this because now they have the female athletes in here too. And they show a little thing in their studio down here. Oh, that's another photo. That's not a photo. That is another image from the game. The quality is just getting insane in some of these things. And you see that, you know, movies. If you've seen Avengers Infinity War, you know, Thanos was CGI, totally CGI. But, you know, here's where they have them in the studio. They're in these outfits that have all the little dots on them where they can capture key points of their body and the movement.
So the different movements.
Right. And then they put that movement and that thing into the game. And that way, that character in the game has the movements near what the real life person does.
Crazy, crazy.
Pretty cool. But I thought this little thing here with all the 17 different cameras.
I've never seen that before. I've only seen where they have all the dots on the faces and everything. And that's what I actually thought they did everything with. I didn't realize that they probably have that along with these cameras. That's just, that's amazing.
Yeah, this mobile unit, they can bring around the world.
Yeah, they just bring it. They have a chair for the person to sit in.
Yeah.
So that it's probably cheaper for them to bring this than to say to I don't know, pick a Tom Brady or something here, come to us into our studio. Probably cheaper for them to bring this to them.
Well, also, let's say you go into the New England Patriots and you have Tom Brady and you have some other players who are going to be part of your, you know, Madden football game. You go there, you can set this up and you can knock out a few of them right there. So you don't have to fly them all up to Vancouver.
Right.
As long as you only need the facial thing, you don't need the full motion thing. Yeah. And DF says DxO Mark ranking 2018 Hasselblad, which is pretty high end. Pentax, and he's giving the camera brands. Then Nikon D850 was number 3. So hey, buddy, it's pretty high up there. Nikon D850. Great camera.
Just throw that in there.
Yep. All right. Well, Tim, that was it I had for tonight. We can talk about the photo contest. If you're wondering where is the best of 2018, we have one more judge's vote to come in. It should be here no later than Saturday, I think. So we'll probably be announcing the winner or winners, whatever, on Saturday or Sunday. I needed to confirm with her one thing, and then I'll post the six finalists.
Okay.
So the six finalists out there, I'll probably do that before the weekend. But we'll get the best of 2018 completed this weekend. Some great photos from 2018 that people posted there. Some we've seen before. We're probably going to change up the rules a little bit for 2019. Because we wanted to give people an advantage that it entered every month versus a person who just came in and this is their first time
entering. Right.
So we said, hey, anyone you entered in a previous month, you can enter here. I think maybe we'll go back to just saying, just like every other month, for the best of, you can enter two images. The one difference being it can be taken any time during 2018.
Throughout that year.
Yeah. And that way we don't end up with, 12 images from the same person, which makes the voting a little challenging.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we will be looking for that coming up. And the other thing as we wrap up is, how do you enter the photo contest? You go over to our website, which is jpedroall.com/contest. There's a link there for the beginners group, the regulars group. You can do it right from the website where you would fill out the form. It would take you to the upload screen. Or you can go into our Facebook groups. And in the Facebook groups, at the top of the page, as this thing takes forever to come up, we'll see if either one of those want to come up. This computer is just insane. At the top of the page of each of these groups, the beginners group and the regulars group, is an album where you would enter your photo for the month, and you can just upload it there. That's what most people do. It's the easiest way to do it. You can just go right there. We'll come back to that. If you want to subscribe, we're, of course, on YouTube, and we are on iTunes in the audio format. In the audio format, we're on iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, TuneIn, Podbean, and Spotify. For the video format, we're large and small on iTunes, and then we're on YouTube, Vimeo, and Podbean on the video format. So you can get us in any of those locations. We're always out first on YouTube. Mm-hmm. So that's where you can get us first. And check that out. And it looks like these pages are still not coming up. You just have to imagine what it would look like. There we go. There's one. Here we go. So you go top of the page, and the album at the top is where you would enter. And it's got the roles and the links and how. Some people sometimes get confused, how do I enter it into the album? There's a link there with a step-by-step process of how to enter into the album on Facebook. All right, Tim. Well, that's our show for the first show for 2019.
Mm-hmm.
We're
on a good streak.
Yeah. Hang out for just a little short post-show, and we'll see you next show. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.